Good morning, everyone. Darren Haw, City of Austin Administrator here, live 92.1 FM. We're doing a takeover for the world's worst DJ because, well, as you know, he has skipped town and don't know when he's coming back. In the studio here, we have Police Officer Chief Zilich. My apologies, Chief Zilich.
Morning.
Good morning. We're just going to talk about some things to get some public knowledge out there and to see what he has to say. Good morning, Chief Zilich.
Good morning, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What would you like to talk about this morning? We got a few things that we can go over. One of those things is an annual report. What is it on an annual report that the public might like to know?
Yeah, so we started doing this probably back in 19, which was something that I kind of thought of along with the Police and Fire Commission to kind of show what we do based upon stats every year, kind of show what our numbers are, you know, what kind of calls for service we have and things of that nature. So from 19 on, we kind of started it during COVID and some busy times. We didn't do it. We've been back now doing it in 22 and 23, which are on the website, and it'll give you an idea of really what our overall calls for services, which is important because it just kind of goes to show, you know, what the officers are doing, what the department's doing, and how busy we are.
Okay, thank you for that. I have to ask, what goes into a call for service?
Well, it really kind of depends. If you guys go over to our website, www.mauston.com, and you go into the police department section, you'll be able to find the annual report. But a lot of different things goes into it. Realistically speaking, there's kind of two or three different ways that I would really compare what we do or what we don't do. One is going to be our actual self-initiated activity calls, which is what an officer would do when they're out on their own, right? So they're in the car, they're driving around, and they would traffic stop somebody. That's a self-initiated activity, which means it wasn't directed by a call for service. It wasn't called in by somebody who was complaining about a neighbor's dog or something like that. So those are two basic different calls for service. And one is proactive in many instances because we're out doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're out, you know, looking for speeders, looking for people not stopping for stop signs, looking for people not shoveling their sidewalks, people who are parking on the wrong side of the road for alternate side parking. Those would be the things that we'd be doing in reference to self-initiated activity reports. And then obviously if we would get called to a place for a call for service, for example, if Quick Trip had a gas drive off, somebody filled up with gas and drove off and didn't pay, that would be a call for service. So basically what I do is in the annual report, we try to categorize all those different activities for the officers and for the department and then kind of track it over years to try to give you an idea of how busy we were and how busy we are now. And that kind of shows trends that'll take place in many instances with, you know, crime analysis and crime data and statistics. You know, look at certain areas and saying, okay, well, this specific area has a very high crime rate in reference to thefts. Well, you know, maybe that's because it's a downtown business district that has a lot of retail, or maybe it's a mall, that sort of thing. So they would look at those numbers and say, how do we combat that? How do we drive those numbers down? How do we make the public more safe and business owners more safe by not having them have loss? So that's kind of what we would do with the numbers. That's what I do in reference to the crashes in town and things of that nature. We try to look at those things and try to take a proactive approach on how to shrink those numbers. Obviously, our job is to, you know, not have the numbers increase. We want the numbers to decrease. So that's really what the annual report does, along with other things. It talks about, you know, the different departments within our department and different staff, kind of stuff like that. That's okay. All encompassed.
I've heard these numbers before. I'm sitting in the meetings with you. Sometimes they're good meetings, sometimes not so good. But what I find staggering is the actual call volume that the City of Austin Police has. Is that call volume on an annual basis something you're willing to share with our public so they can maybe put a number to how busy your department really is?
Sure, yeah. So, again, some of the calls for service are going to be reactive. That's going to be one category that I'm going to talk about this morning. And then one's going to be proactive. So starting in 19, if you guys go to the 2023 annual report, you'll see that our calls for service was right around about 10,000 calls for service. And in 2023, we were just shy of about 14,000, 15,000. So pretty good increase over those number of years. A lot of that is going to be officers' productivity. So, you know, again, being out there doing the things that we should be doing. So, for example, back when I started, Murph would probably say, you know, back in the early 1800s, assuming that I was old, but I'm really not that old. But back in the early 2000s, officers were doing these things. We were doing things called billing checks, but we weren't getting credit for it. There was not a way for us to categorize or track those numbers. Now, with new technology and our current CAD system that we have, we are able to track that. So the numbers are bigger, and that's why I give a fairly significant, I guess, scattering of dates for us to look at to show that the numbers have increased. We are busier than we were, and we are tracking things to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay. That's amazing. A lot of this seems to be proactive as well.
It is, Darren. You know, one of the biggest things is like the self-initiated activities. You know, back in 19 when we first started to look at these numbers, it was right around between 6,000 to 8,000, probably closer to lower 7,000. Self-initiated activities now are right around that 11,000 mark. So pretty significant increase in reference to that. You know, it's one of those things where we really do try to be as busy as we can in between responding to calls, right? The reactivity is not something that you want in a police department. You want to be proactive. You want to be able to displace things that are bad for the community. Like, for example, you know, if there was a section of town that was having a really high influx of burglaries, well, how do you think we might solve that? Well, you'd put more officers in that general vicinity to try to find the burglars, right? Now, in many instances, that'll drive those numbers down. And people are going to say, hey, great job. You did exactly what you wanted. You brought those numbers on. Yes, we did. But what we did was we displaced it somewhere else. We didn't necessarily solve the crime unless we were able to arrest somebody and put somebody in jail for that. All we did was displace it. So, like, for example, the city of Mauston, if we increase our numbers of officers on a specific instance, we can displace it, right? We can redistribute it to somewhere else. Well, we don't want to distribute it in town. We'd like to distribute it somewhere else, not in the city of Mauston. So that is one of the byproducts of being proactive, is that you can move and hurt people around. The best example I can give is, for example, during homecoming, you know, kids are all toilet paper and they're all over in herds throwing toilet paper in everybody's front yards. And you see a squad go by and all of a sudden they all scatter and they run into, you know, a neighborhood over or three or four houses down. Well, that's displacement. That's exactly what we're
doing. Took care of one problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of that difference.
Okay. So. Thank you. 92.1 FM, Darren Haw, City Administrator for the City of Mauston. In studio, live, have Chief Zilich here with me from the Mauston Police Department. Again, still no word on Murph, but we're gonna come back. We're going to talk about more equipment that the PD has, how they use it, and maybe go into a program called National Night Out. So stay tuned. 92.1 FM, Darren Haw here, City Administrator for Mauston. Chief Zilich at the Mauston Police Department in studio with us here. We're doing the takeover. Murph is, I don't know where the heck Murph is, but he's Murph. So, next topic I wanted to talk about, equipment, the police department. What goes into this stuff? What do they have for when bad things happen and to keep themselves safe, most importantly, and the public safe? Chief Zilich, because that's something you can talk about.
Yeah. So, actually, it's in the annual report. We talked about it in the first segment. Okay. We'll kind of continue.
All right. Well, time out. What's on your chest?
Oh, that's one of our body cameras.
Does that thing record me?
It's not at the moment, but it could be.
It could be. All right.
In past lives, it's become important to be able to use those. So, but yeah, no, equipment-wise and training-wise, it's in the annual report. We feel it's important to be able to give the public the ability to read through and kind of see what we've done throughout the year. So one of the things that try to push as much as we can is getting guys off the training, trying to make them as the best they can be in reference to being a police officer of the city. And one of the things that we did in 2023 was we wrote a grant through the Department of Justice to bring in de-escalation training. De-escalation training is kind of a catchphrase that you might hear if you're out looking or following police. And really what it is in the basic nuance of it is trying to reduce the likelihood of force, right? We try to use words, we try to be calm, we try to do different techniques in order to keep somebody from escalating or to try to de-escalate them so that we don't have to use force. Force is one of those things that we do have to use, but we don't want to unless we absolutely have to. So the de-escalation training came in. That was a statewide thing. We wrote it so that not only that our local departments, including New Lisbon, Elroy, you know, Nisida, the Juneau County Sheriff's Office, not only could we benefit us locally, but we could also benefit anybody in the state.
Now, help remind me, was this a training where all those agencies came to the city of Mauston that we hosted for that? I believe it was out to the school?
Yes, it was. It was okay. At the Mauston High School. Mr. Heesch and the Mauston School District was very generous in allowing us to use their facilities because of the number of people that we had. We had about 246 law enforcement professionals over 2 3-day meetings or training sessions where we came into the school and we talked to different things. A couple were user trainings, and one was an instructor training, and we went through the Force Science Institute de-escalation training, which is a nationally renowned training program that does a lot of different things. Force Science is an organization that studies, you know, biomechanics and behavior and things like that. In many instances, they will testify in officer-involved shootings or officer use of force encounters to try to explain the mechanics of what takes place. So, for example, if, you know, you and I were engaged in a force situation, you know, they would go through the basic human building blocks of that you are going to do something, actions faster than reaction. So when you do an action, I have to recognize that action. I have to process that action. I have to formulate a response to that action and then act. That's a very, very, very significant amount of time. Now, in some instances, it's not. It could be a second. It could be 2 seconds. But that's how the body processes information. So, for example, if I'm in the middle of an action and I want to stop, I have to actually think about stopping. Well, that might take time. So when you get into different things and into the actual building blocks of it, it's an art. I mean, it really truly is. I mean, it's science. I'm not a scientist, but it is science. And that's kind of what those 2-day training sessions were over those different periods of time.
There was what, 3 weeks of that?
There was 3 sessions of that.
Yeah.
Correct, 2-day, 3 sessions, and that's really what they went over. They went over the science
and
behavior.
Pretty intense stuff.
It was intense stuff, and it was very informative for all of us to understand why we do certain things, why offenders or suspects do certain things, and how to combat certain things in order to make us safer and make them safer. So it was really good training. And again, you know, page 14 of the annual report kind of goes into a lot of that stuff. You know, in reference to equipment, you know, training is a byproduct of equipment. You know, sometimes you'll buy equipment, but you have to train on it. And then there's times where you have training, which then leads you to want to buy equipment. And so they're very tied together. And I know you know that because I think you tell me on an annual basis that I'm your big spender. You know, I and I am, unfortunately, in some instances. But let's be honest, none of my stuff costs as much as a dump truck. So so I know Director Nelson will be in later. So
he will be.
You can tell him I said that.
I can always tell by your body language when you come in my office if it's going to be cutting a check or not. So
absolutely.
Chief Zilich, this is all amazing information. I'm happy that it's being put out there to help the public knowledge understand this stuff. But I'm told by MRF's staff that we need to take a break, maybe play some music. So if you'd stay put, we got some more topics to discuss.
Sounds good.
92.1 FM, welcome back. Live in the studio, Darren, City of Mauston Administrator, Chief Zilich, Mauston Police. We got a call, or what we thought was a call from MRF, telling us he's stranded somewhere. I don't know where that is, and I don't know if the call was fake, but we're going to take it as he's alive. So, until he comes back, we're going to take over the studio, and we're going to continue the conversation on equipment that the police department has and how it's used. I think it's important for the public to understand some of the stuff and the training that goes behind it. Chief Zilich.
Yeah. So again, morning, Darren.
Good morning.
You know, we touched upon training in the last segment. This is kind of one of those things that kind of go hand in hand. You know, in many instances, you know, training dictates equipment. Equipment dictates training. And so we talked a little bit about the training. We'll go into some of the equipment that we have. You know, over the years, the city's been very blessed to be able to be in a position to buy some, I mean, significantly state-of-the-art equipment for us to make us safer, to make the public safer, and to really perform our jobs to the best of our abilities. And some of the things that, you know, we've talked about before with MRF, you know, for example, is, you know, our police canine. That's a piece of equipment that we use to help, you know, track lost kids, track lost elderly people that might be suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's. You know, they're able to find drugs in cars. You know, they protect our officers. They can be used as a tool for apprehension. So, again, the dog that we fundraise for every year, which will be coming up again this year, so we'll be looking forward to that, is a piece of equipment. And, you know, other things that we do have is going to be our body cameras. So, for example, all of our officers wear body cameras. Our specific brand is WatchGuard, which is a Motorola product. And we've had these for probably about maybe a year, year and a half. We had previous models. This is a new model. This one is much more interactive than the last ones we had. So, for example, we had to wear a lapel mic and a body camera, which then would connect to our squad cars. Well, now this body camera that I have connects to my connects my car. It's my audio for my squad camera in my car, along with being my audio and video that's on me all the time. So that's pretty cool stuff. You know, it's expensive, but it's we live in a world now where we need to have those things to not only protect the public, but also to protect us from you know, false complaints and things like that. So that's something that's hugely important. Many agencies do have them. There's still some that don't. And in many instances, it's a cost prohibitive item. It's expensive. And, you know, many times departments aren't able just to get that money. So there are grants out there that you can write for to get those. Some of the other things we have in reference to the training I talked about in the earlier segment was de-escalation. You know, some of the things that people don't realize is that OC, or pepper spray, as you will, is a de-escalation tool, right? That's a way for us to not engage in a physical fight with somebody, and it keeps us safe by making them give up so we don't have to physically fight. Because sure. Typically speaking, if we physically fight, both of us are more likely to get hurt. You know, another product that we have is called Pepperball. Pepperball is a platform.
I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about you taking a hit from that. So Pepperball is very similar to OC, but it's not liquid. It's a powder. It's delivered through a launcher that's basically compressed air, and we're able to shoot it at suspects or offenders or even somebody in a mental health situation to try to de-escalate the situation, try to bring them to follow our commands without having to, again, wrestle or escalate the level of force. You know, so for example, if you guys are on YouTube or any, even TikTok, Twitter, there's probably feeds all the time. I'm not on those other than YouTube. I'm a celebrity, by the way, on YouTube, if you guys Google my name. So, but anyway, the point is that you'll be able to see Pepperball being used on a various array of individuals trying to bring them back to complying with our orders, right? It's all about compliance. We don't want to fight with you. We don't want to do that. We just want you to get you to comply to what we're asking you to do so that either we can work through the problem or work through the situation. So that those are two areas that we have that are on us or around us to de-escalate. The other thing would be our taser. You know, back in 2013, I came to you in the city council to say, hey, listen, this is the next evolution of Taser, which is the new Taser 10s, or the T10s as we call them. It's a much better platform. I have it in studio. I'll bring it out here and I'll wave it around. I don't know if the listeners can hear that, but for example, I'm removing the bad portion of it, but you'll hear a tone. So what we call that is the audible, and you can't see it obviously because you're not in the studio with me and Darren, but it also produces a laser and a light that strobes along with that sound. And really what that is it's trying to shock the conscience of the individual that we're pointing it at to get them to comply with us. Again, we don't want to have to use the force of the taser, but we will if we need to in order to get under control. So the new platform is much more user-friendly. It's a much better platform to let people understand the fact that it's not a firearm. It's not a gun in the greater, you know, the context of what we're doing. You know, some people in my past that we have deployed tasers on, like, oh, you shot me with a gun. Because they don't really know. They're under stress. They're not thinking clearly. And so it kind of amps them up. This is a way to show them that it's clearly not a gun, which in many instances helps. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to cut in here quick because I know we talked about training on another scale. Now we're talking about equipment.
Yep.
But I want to revert back to the training on those tasers, because what I really like is that training on these new tasers can all be done in-house by virtual reality?
Yeah, so the program that we got from Taser allows us to have VR, which is virtual reality training. So we get goggles. Some of your kids might have them at home. For you older parents, I have no idea what VR is. You put on a headset and you look really goofy with everybody else laughing at you in the room because obviously they can't see what you're seeing. And it runs you through scenarios that Taser has made up. They're pre-canned or pre-done scenarios for us to do. It also works on, you know, accuracy. So you'll have stationary targets that you can deploy the taser at. There'll be moving targets that you can deploy the unit at. And it goes through, it tells you locations, it tells you NMI. So NMI is a neuromuscular incapacitation. That's what we're looking for. So when you see somebody on YouTube that gets tasered and they lock up or they turn into a board and they fall down, that's NMI. That's what you're looking for, right? That's complete incapacitation. That's what we want. That allows us what we call a tactical pause. It allows us to move in while under power to cuff them and secure them so they no longer could do damage themselves or somebody else. And that's essentially what the taser does. Again, another good de-escalation tool that we use. We also have gas. We have gas canisters, so they'd be kind of like the size of a monster can. I know Murph, if he was here, wouldn't have one for me because he continuously wants me to come out and talk, but forgets my monster in the morning. And which is odd because it usually says that's the whole buffer. It's always, you know,
Monster Mike.
Yeah, Mike Murph and Monster in the morning, and right away there's no monster. So anyway, I digress. But, you know, we also have gas canisters that we could deploy into vehicles, into houses. We also have a 37-millimeter launcher, which is a really, really big canister that flies. Like, we could shoot it. It's shooting it out of a basically, yeah, essentially, sure. It's a launcher. And we can go through windows with it. We can go through plywood, hollow core doors. And when it goes into the room, it deposits, you know, powder and makes people not want to stay in there and come out and deal with us instead of doing naughty things. So anyway, we have lots of tools for de-escalation. It's important because we need to be able to get people to come out and not escalate the situation. So we do a lot of training and we have a lot of equipment to be able to do that, because again, we don't want to hurt anybody, nor do we want to see anybody hurt. And if we can resolve the situation as quickly and easily as we can with technology, that's what we want to do.
Chief Zilich, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I can't emphasize enough myself on the training. I witness it every day. I say, hey, where's this officer? Hey, where's that officer? Oh, off the training. They're off the training. Or we're all upstairs in a group training session. I personally can't stress training enough, just seeing it from an outside perspective, but while being in-house with the police department. It really is amazing stuff. Everyone out there, stay tuned. 92.1 FM. We're just going to go for a commercial break, but please stay tuned. We will be back. Good morning, good morning. Darren Haas, City of Mauston Administrator, in the studio this morning with Chief Zilich from the Mauston Police Department. If you've been listening, we have been talking a lot of stuff. Annual reports, different examples of how training's done, different equipment that they use and that they have for public knowledge. But this next topic is going to be short, it's going to be brief, but it's still going to be important because it's a good event. Chief Zilich, what would you like to talk about the National Night Out that's coming up?
Yeah, so National Night Out is something that started in the 1970s. It was really a way for police to get back into the communities and really become partners, right? You know, community and police are partners. It's not an adversarial relationship. It has to be one of respect and mutual understanding and cooperation. And I think, you know, I know with Murph, we've talked about this on many different instances. The community of Moss and the surrounding area is so supportive in reference to police. It is always, you know, a complete shaking of your head of how important they are to make our lives easier. And, you know, one of the things they do every year is they support us, whether through donation or just saying, hey, you know, we appreciate you or not. And this is a way for us to give back, to get with families, to get with kids, and just talk, to spend a night together. So this is something that goes throughout the nation, and we've been invited this year to participate. Karen Hebloom started National Night Out with some other folks. It's been hosted in Nisida. We've not participated before. But
is it still hosted in Nisida?
It's going to be hosted in Nisida this year, and we got the invite. So, you know, I got some swag coming. You know, I'm not going to tell
you
what.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I bought some swag for people to come over to our booth and just, you know, introduce themselves, introduce us, talk about it and stuff like that. Again, you know, no specific topics, no specific agenda, just being in the community, saying hi, you know, high-fiving kids, talking to parents, talking to community members about what Mauston Police is and what we do and how we do it. And, you know, we'll have a display of some equipment and stuff like that, and obviously our squads and stuff for kids and things of that nature. And again, we'll have some swag for people to pick up, and hopefully they'll appreciate it, and it'll give some talking points for us.
You'll have a booth, you said.
We'll have a booth.
Are you going to have the Mauston Police Department backdrop behind you?
I will have our very large backdrop behind us.
I tell you
what,
that thing is eye-catching.
It is eye-catching. It will be there. We'll have to probably put some sandbags on it because I think it'll be outside, so we'll make sure it doesn't blow over. I know we'll have to make an insurance claim with you if that's the case, so I'll make sure it's safe.
Let's not do that. All right. 92.1 FM, Darren Haas, City of Mauston Administrator, Chief Mike Zilich in the studio here. Thank you, Chief, for being with us all morning long. And I hope everyone out there does stay tuned, because we have more City of Mauston employees coming in to talk about different things such as public works, parks, and even library. So again, thank you, Chief Zilich.
Thanks for having me, Darren. You know, I'm usually looking at Murph, which I have to say, you know, he's a little bit taller than you, but not by much.
A little bit taller. Okay. Right. I'm sitting in the booster seat right now just so I can get the microphone. So
I believe that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Chief Zilich, Mauston Police. We were talking about the National Night Out being held in Nisida, talking about the cool swag that you're going to have for the folks that are going to be there, but we didn't talk about the date. I don't have the time. I think it's to be determined, but the date is going to be August 6th. So for those of you listening, please jot that down somewhere. It will be August 6th in Nisida. It will be the National Night Out. City of Mauston Police will be there with some cool swag, so check it out.